Oh God, it's actually to suffer them. It says God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Oh, we praise you, O God, for sending us a strong delusion that we believed a lie, and now your wrath has come upon us. We shed the blood of saints and prophets. But if we had known, we wouldn't have done it. We would not have chosen this. This is not what we wanted. So, I mean, yeah, it might be like I have said all along, and I do not back off on at all about like the names of blasphemy on the beast. But what I'm saying at this point, their eyes may be open. I mean, when the seventh trumpet sounds, the mystery is finished, and suddenly they realize what they've been doing. When they see the two witnesses rise, they know. You know, they know. And I feel much more strongly that that's the case here. They realize, you know, what they've done. And they're not going to say, wow, God is so gracious. Look what he did for his servants. They suffered so much, and we were so bad. We repent of our deeds. No, they do not repent of their deeds. They repented not of their deeds. They blaspheme God. What are you doing to us? You're hurting us. It's all they have for themselves from the beginning is their self-love. They love themselves. Satan came, they received him gladly. They put down the witnesses, they rejoiced, gave each other presents like it was Christmas. And yes, God suffered it to be so. You know why? Because they don't love the truth. See, you have to love the truth. You have to love righteousness to receive righteousness. You have to love truth to receive the truth. Not just any truth. Not just the things that are true, like, you know, the sky is blue. You don't have to love that to receive it. I mean truth like it is an abomination for a man to lie with a man. I hate that truth. Well, if you don't receive the love of that truth, you know what God's going to do? He's going to give you a strong delusion so that you would believe a lie that a man lying with another man is blessed. You receive not the love of the truth. It is given to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. I don't want to suffer. I'd rather believe in the rapture. Well, actually, before you even said that, I'm not interested in suffering for God. That holds no appeal to me. Okay, you don't love that truth? Then God will send you a strong delusion so you would believe a lie. And a minister comes along and says, you don't have to worry about suffering in the tribulation. Because the rapture is going to take you away before any of it happens. And you know, that's not just to rip on people who believe the rapture. Because maybe you believe it because you just were raised that way. Or because someone convinced you with the scriptures. Not because you are unwilling to lay down your life for the sake of the gospel. But just because that's what you were taught was right. Everyone around you believed it, and it was taught to you. Hey, I believed it too when I was young. There were a lot of things through life, doctrines I picked up, and things that were told me that I picked up, and yeah. But now, come along to greater wisdom. Love laying your life down and see the truth. The rapture is just a splinter off of the resurrection, the only truth. When it comes to, you know, when Christ returns, when he comes, it's going to be a resurrection. There's no earlier taking away and all that stuff. You know, and I've answered a lot of questions on my website. I hope to answer more in the future. But there are also, you know, I have a lot of emails where people ask questions. It's a lot to sift through. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to get it all organized, but you know, if you have a verse you have a question about, I've done almost the whole New Testament. And you can better believe it. If the verse you're questioning on, if I came across it, I most likely did touch on it. Because I don't avoid verses. I just go barrel right into them. You're not going to be disappointed. At least I hope not. I never intentionally look past something. You know, most people would probably say, no, Paul, quite the contrary. We can't get you to look past anything. You get hung up on everything. But I think that was a pretty good assessment of their blasphemy. you know, the parable of the worker of the field, workers of the field is so, it's just such a beautiful truth that teaches us so much about God. God is good. Is your eye evil because I am good? What man could not understand that? They worked 8 hours. Then there were guys who worked 6, 4, 2. The guys who worked 8 at the beginning of the day agreed to be paid a penny. A penny is really a bad word today because a penny is almost worthless in our culture. But in that culture, the penny was equivalent of a fair day's wages. You know, think about today, like $100, something like that, you know. Maybe that's not enough for some people, but let's say $100. And that sounds pretty good to me as far as, you know, just for something like just pick up work. You know, you're just hanging around looking for labor. You know, you're going into work on the harvest. Let's say $100. You know, that's more than $10 an hour if you work 8 hours. And I don't know exactly how many hours were involved. I don't want to get too involved in the details of it. But they agreed to work for a day's wages. And they went to work. And they went off happily to work. And then the man who was running this, he hired people then 2 hours later, and a few hours after that, a few hours after that. And so there were people who were coming in at the very last hour to finish up. And then when it was time to pay them, he paid them all the exact same thing. So you can see why the people who began working at the beginning of the day, well, they got paid last, and they came up there and they said they were sort of expecting to get more. And they got the same thing that they had agreed to at the beginning, and they were angry. And the reason I use that a lot, and I apply it in many different ways, because the lesson is God isn't fair. He's just. He's good. He's gracious to some, but not to all. And sometimes to the ones that it happens to, that he only is just fair with them, because that's the problem. The first ones, he was fair with them. And then everyone after that, he was more and more gracious to. But there was no one who he dealt with unjustly. He was just being really generous to people who didn't deserve it. But the people who started out, they worked the longest and got paid for each hour the least. And there's a lot of ways you can apply that. And I choose to apply it here in a lot of situations where people are interacting with God. And they're angry with him. And it explains it to me. Because what we get out of life, you know, let's say you don't believe in God. You're like an agnostic. But you are, let's say, a scientist, you know, and you want to explore the secrets of the universe.